kind of messes with the audio a little bit. Every once in a while, there's going to be those, like, you know, beer and pretzel style jokes that happen because we're children at heart.
Oh, of course.
And that's kind of how Unmade Gaming is. It's very, it's dramatic beer and pretzels.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
For this week, I am by myself as Joe is currently unavailable, but we have Mike with us, with me, from Unmade Gaming. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going very well. How are you?
Awesome. Good, good, good. I am releasing a podcast tomorrow, so I have all the stress and anxiety that comes with that. Yes. But other than that, I am good. I'm excited.
That's awesome. I very much understand this stress.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it surely is.
So, you were here to talk about your new podcast that launches today, tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Yeah, we're doing a brand new, this is our first podcast. This is our first audio-only podcast. We normally do like live streams and YouTube videos and that kind of thing. So this is a new venture and a completely new and foreign world for us, both literally and figuratively. We are jumping into D&D 5e, which we're all familiar with. However, we're jumping into the world of Humblewood, which is like adorable woodland creatures meets D&D. So think like Mouse Guard or Redwall, if you ever read those novels. And then we took the setting that the lovely people of Humblewood gave us and we said, nah. And we went several hundred miles south from the comfortable woodland setting they made for us, and we built a pirate cities and a bunch of like new kingdoms down there. So we're playing in their world with their races and all, you know, the accoutrement that comes with that. But we've basically made up our own town, we made up our own cities, we made up our own region, and we've added pirates. So that's what we're doing here. It's gonna be really cool.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I love pirates.
That's what we thought. We were like, you know what? Everyone does a D&D thing, and it's like your traditional, like, you know, Lord of the Rings fantasy style. And they made that one pirate book, Salt Marsh, and everyone was like, oh, this is kind of neat. But there's just not enough pirate stuff in D&D. So we're like, you know what? Let's do pirate and be adorable woodland creatures while doing it.
So. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So you said that this is your first venture into podcasting.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Audio only.
Yeah, normally we do live streams on Twitch, which are like two-hour productions, and we rip the audio from those and we throw them up on our Patreon. So I don't think you can really call those podcasts. It's just like a convenient listening tool for like, exclusive for our patrons. So this is our first time we've ever taken it and made it public. And we're not only just ripping the audio, we're not doing it live on a stream. We're doing the audio, you know, separately, like with four or five inlines of audio. And we actually hired an editor, and he's going to make it all pretty for us and sound great. So, yeah, this is our first, like, full-on podcast.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What made you decide to jump into podcasting?
The same thing that makes me decide to jump into everything, which is hubris. I see other people doing it and I think I could do that. That can't be that hard. And every time it turns out it is that hard. So I have been starting a podcast, quote unquote, for about a year and a half now. I've been starting a YouTube channel for about the same time. One of them exists as of tomorrow. The other one doesn't. So yeah, we figured there's a lot of people out there in the YouTube space, or in the YouTube, sorry, the podcast space, making these actual plays. Obviously, you have like Critical Role sort of dumping their stuff over there. You have the Adventure Zone doing all kinds of stuff. We're lucky enough to be part of a tabletop podcast network, and like three or four of the shows are actual plays. And obviously we're no stranger to actual plays. We do them all the time. So we figured, you know what? There's a whole group of people who haven't heard of Unmade Gaming, and I need to fix that via audio. So hopefully this gets the name out there. This gets, you know, that kind of thing out there. And it's fun and it's different. Having recorded a couple episodes already, it's very different than the Twitch experience that we're having. I wouldn't say it's more or less fun. It's just definitely a different kind of atmosphere that we're really enjoying. So yeah, that should be pretty cool. So we jump into there, you know, tap into a new audience and sort of see what's out there.
That's amazing. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Nice. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the story and the characters for your podcast.
We have, so like I said, we've made up our own entire place. So everything, let's say, quote unquote, everything you'll see is homebrew content. I can't guarantee, I'm not the GM, so I can't guarantee what is going to be pulled out of the books. I'm sure there's some racial things and some, you know, monsters that we pull out of there, but the location is all homebrew. In the book, there's a place called Talon Grip Coast, and that's the only seafaring town, and we wanted to do pirates. So we basically traveled, you know, 100 or so miles down the coast of Talon Grip, and we made up an area called the Bay of Palooch, which, you know, fun little tidbit for those listening, Palooch is, or Palucci or Palouche or something like that, is the French word for paw. So we're kind of keeping in line with the whole animal situation. So in doing so, we made up two new kingdoms, which is the Kingdom of Den and the Serpent Domain. The serpents, like, there are no serpents or reptiles in the book so far, so we're kind of making that up as we go along. And this whole area is basically fighting in a conflict between the Kingdom of Den and the Serpent Domain, trying to decide who controls the waters of the Bay of Palooch. And so because they've been fighting for so long, each other, pirates have risen. And one of them more specifically has risen higher than anyone else, and that's the pirate Bluebeak. Again, playing on those animal tropes. I'm pretty sure it's some kind of parrot. I couldn't tell you, but I'm hoping it is, because it'd be very strange if it wasn't. But yeah, this pirate has risen up as a de facto pirate lord. And when the story kind of picks up, the two navies from the Kingdom of Den and the Serpent Domain have basically put aside their differences and kind of made like a they made a treaty between the two of them and have started to focus on Bluebeak, which has now allowed the rest of the pirates, like the rest of the pirate crews, to be like, oh, Bluebeak is getting attacked and he's becoming weak. We can step up. So now there's kind of a pirate war brewing between these different factions of like Gabrielle LaFleur, who has named herself the Pirate Queen. There's a man named Kin the Bladeless. There's a bunch of these pirate lords that are trying to lay claim over the bay and take down Bluebeak and disarm the navies of these two nations. And we kind of get swept up in the middle of that. So we have our captain, Shinnok McTeer. She is a fox, a vulpin in this setting. She's the captain of our ship. And she is, she was actually raised by Gabrielle LaFleur, the Pirate Queen. So she's the most piratey among us. In fact, she's the only sailor and or pirate among us at all, which should give you some clue as to how poorly this is about to go for us. we have a homebrew spin on an existing race. There's a race called the Mopok in the book, which are kind of like raccoons. And in the book, it references that they're part of like the weasel family. So we went a little bit further and we kind of homebrewed skunks. So we added like a racial skunk ability, you know. And the player for this group, his name is Rory. He actually made like an entire clan-based hierarchical system for the skunk people. And it's very like pseudo-Japanese, kind of like house clan-based kind of thing. And he's actually playing a wandering samurai. He's cool. On the... Yeah, right? So he's... I think he's mixing Hexblade and Rogue together to make this like unique samurai feel. And he is currently on a journey, which is like the samurai equivalent to Rumspringa for the Amish. So it's kind of one of those, hey, you're old enough, leave the nest, go out and find yourself. And so he's wandered basically down here to this other kingdom, and he kind of is getting, he's going to get swept up in this whole pirate life, like wrong place, right time kind of thing, which is going to be super interesting because he has no business being where he is and no business being on a pirate ship. So it's going to be real fun to see how that kind of plays out. Then we have another one who is just as unlikely to be on a pirate ship. His name is Orin. He's played by a player named McLoken, and he is a Servin, which in this game is what they call like deer people. So imagine like he's like a 6-foot-tall, 14-point muscle-bound stag. And prior to the adventure, he is a gladiator in this kingdom of Den, in this Serpent Domain city. Somehow he goes from gladiator to on board a pirate ship. I won't spoil how that happens, but that'll hit in episode 4, and that'll be really cool. You get to see how you actually go from gladiator to pirate. Long jump there. And then lastly, you have my character. I'm playing Mimir Elderbrand, who is he's a raven person. So he's a Corvum is what they call him in the book. And he's a bard. But the bard is more of a cover story, as he is a traveling minstrel who goes from town to town. And he's actually from the Humblewood, where the original campaign takes place. But when you travel from town to town and you sing songs and you move, you're always on the go, people question you a lot less. And so Mimir is a con artist and a fence. So he often repurposes illicit goods to the right people in the right place. And that's how he actually ends up in this scenario, is he was told to take an item from the Humblewood, bring it down here. Simple handoff. You get your payment on delivery. And obviously things went awry. And he is now somehow becoming a pirate as a result. So yeah, it should be really cool. That's the story so far. Once we get a ship and become like full-on pirates, who knows where, you know, the high seas will take us. But that's where the first 4 episodes will be out. One comes out on Monday, and then every Monday thereafter. And they're going to be single-player one-shots, like an hour-long show of this person's origin and how they get to it's basically like a you all meet in a tavern, except we all separately get there, and then episode 1 is boom, we're all together now. What happens? So it's gonna be really cool. I've heard a couple of them so far, and I'm very excited. So
that's really awesome. I like how kind of you have those character introduction episodes.
Yeah,
I think that really makes a big difference.
Plus, it gives you more time to get a feel for each individual character. Whereas, like, if you start with a one-hour show or one-hour podcast episode and you, bam, here's all 4 characters, it's kind of hard to get a feel for them. You're going to be waiting a couple episodes in before you're like, oh, okay, this person does this and this person does this. But now you get an hour with each of us, so you'll kind of learn our, you know, the way we are in situations, in combat, in conversational things, our kind of mannerisms, which is really cool. I'm really digging that part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so who's running the game?
Oh, so our GM is a friend of mine. His name is Johnny. He goes by Video Store Cowboy on the internets. And he's actually basically our resident GM at Unmade Gaming. He has been a GM on the channel for, I think, like 2.5 to 3 of our 5 years of running shows. So he's been consecutively a GM for our channel, and he runs everything. He runs like Cypher System, he runs Blades in the Dark, Scum and Villainy. There's like, you know, there's so many systems that he's run. He's a great GM, and I'm really looking forward to see what he does with D&D 5e. I know he's a huge world builder too, so I've seen some of the stuff that he's coming up with, just so that I can have, you know, stuff to talk about when I do these kind of shows. And it's been really cool. It's been really cool to see what he's been able to come up with and just off the top of his head and make up based on the world that exists in Humblewood.
Yeah. So, I know very little about Humblewood. I've seen it, and I've seen like the pictures and the art, and it looks really cool. But what really sets this setting apart from anything else, really?
I think the first thing that's gonna set it apart, like that eye catching like pop, is like, oh, these are not elves and dwarves and stuff, right? It's not your traditional fantasy kind of thing. The closest you can say is it's kind of like Aarakocra, but like not really. So there's like 2 sets of races in Humblewood. There's the bird folk and the humble folk. And the bird folk, you have like they're different races based on the type of like bird you are. So there's like Strig, mm-hmm. which are like your owl kind of things. You have Raptors, which are like your parrots and your eagles kind of things. You have the Corvum, which are like your carrion, like you could be like a vulture or like a, you know, a crow or that kind of thing. And so each bird subset kind of has its own thing, and they're more of like the they're more of like the ruling class almost of this people. Like they have their perches in the high trees, whereas the humble folk have like villages on the ground. You know, they've established the guard, you know, they're the overseers over the forest kind of thing. And then you have the humble folk, which through a catastrophe in the book called The Scorching, I believe, some kind of weird fire elemental thing happened, which drove that combined with bandits, drove the humble folk up to live in the trees with the, you know, and they formed kind of an alliance. And then with the humble folk, you have like your raccoons, you have foxes, you have deer, you have mice, hedgehogs, all kinds of like, so woodland creatures. So I think that's the first thing that kind of sets it apart. And you're, unlike a game like Mouse Guard, where you're literally a mouse, like a tiny mouse with a sword, this, you're like normal size medium creatures. So like I'm a 6 foot crow, which is, you know, we have a massive, you know, deer barbarian kind of roaming around up there. Mm-hmm. So they didn't like just anthropomorphize animals and keep them their normal size. They made them like, you know, people size, and the whole world is kind of built around that. So you have a lot of like avian qualities and woodland qualities, but it's own fully fleshed out world, which is cool. It's different enough from traditional D&D that it's like a new breath, right? Like you're used to your Tolkien, you're used to your elves and your wizards and that kind of thing, right? But now you can do that same kind of Tolkien story with adorable animal creatures. Or you tell a whole new story, right? Because the book itself actually comes with new gods, new deities, new cities, some new spells, new class features as well. So yeah, it adds enough to make it feel like it's not just plain D&D, right?
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's... I think it's super cool, and yeah. It is cutesy. Kind
it
of.
Is like the art is adorable. They also it have is. Like there's a lot of art that you see that's freaking adorable. Then you see some like crazy art. And if you backed it on Kickstarter or you pay attention to their Twitter, they have like new art that's coming out. There's a new expansion coming out that involves, I want to say, some jungly stuff based on what I'm seeing. I don't know, but based on what I'm seeing. And they have this thing, I think it's called like the Slime Lord. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. What? Yeah, it looks like you ever play World of Warcraft and you know the slimes and with the skull in their face, like it it looks like that, except it's like three raven skulls covered in slime with like bone arms, and it's wearing a robe with like a hood up. It just looks like a horrifying lich monster made of slime, like personified slime. And I'm like, okay, that you took the cute spin on it and made it like awful. That's terrible.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to fight that, but also yikes. Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Ugh. So what has been your favorite part of being a part of the podcast so far? I realize it's not out yet and it's not launched yet. And you know, like there's only so much you can say.
Yeah, honestly, it's the hype, man. Like we have, we've been planning the podcast for, it's February now, since like October, I think.
Oh wow!
And we finally started recording in January. So I've been doing production on all kinds of things, hiring the editor, you know, getting artists lined up, and everyone else is just super hyped. And literally that amount of hype is what keeps me going, right? as soon as I found out that we had an artist lined up, everyone's like, where's the art? Let me see the art. I can't wait to see the art. And then every time I put up a new picture, obviously privately, of course, everyone's like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is so cool. And then anytime, because we all recorded our individual episodes separately. So I haven't heard the rest of them and neither have they. And every week I get messages. When do I get to hear the next step? When do I get to hear someone else's episode? So they're equally as hyped as everyone on Twitter and everyone like in the community is hyped for it. So like, that's pretty cool, is seeing the cast and everyone else involved with it is equally as hyped as the people that we're promoting the show to. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. To, yeah. Yeah, having that love for it is, it makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Cool. Is there anything else that you want to kind of say about the podcast or throw out there, let people know about?
Go listen. It's going to be great. Yeah, so we are doing, like I said, we're completely world building. So a lot of the world building is happening behind the scenes, but will be made public. I'm not sure if we're going to do it in episodes. They might be. We might do some, like, throw out some filler episodes out there. We're working on a world anvil, which is going to have some of the unique lore that we've created in there. The episode zero, the trailer for the podcast, is out right now. It's about 3 minutes, and it's just a lore dump. It tells you kind of a lot of the things that we've gone over here today, but in a bit more detail, which is really cool. I'm really excited to work on this. We have one of the players is actually drawing the maps for the world, for like our new section of the world, which is really awesome. That's McLoken. He's the deer barbarian, the servant barbarian. Mm-hmm. We're all super hyped about it. We're all working on, like I said, Rory made his own whole race and, you know, people, basically. So we're all individually working on all kinds of things. Like, even I'm working on, like, some of the cities, and, like, I wrote a pirate's code. So there's, like, actual law, like, pirate laws, kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean. We were like, oh, we need to have a pirate code. So I actually, like, broke down a pirate code, which is pretty cool, just further adding. But everyone is doing that. Everyone's adding to the lore, not just the GM. It's very collaborative world-building kind of experience, which is really cool. It's really unique. It's not something you see often. Every once in a while, you'll have a GM that's like, oh, what is this thing? And you throw it to your players. But behind the scenes, we're actually all working together to, like, build out this world completely, fully, and fleshed out, and then present that to the player, to the players as well, but to the audience, to the viewers and the listeners and that kind of thing. We have, like, a massive Google Doc that's just going with, like, all kinds of lore that we're working on and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a very we may only have one GM, but we have five world builders working on this, which is a really cool experience, I think.
That is really cool. Wow. I enjoy the concept of kind of everybody pitching in and everybody sort of, like, having those connections and making that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's as if we were, like, if we were all writing a module, right? You know, you say, hey, Mike, I need you to work on, you know, this town. I'm like, okay, what are my parameters for this town? All right, well, I'm the GM, and I had X, Y, and Z idea. I'm like, okay, great. So I have, like, those things that go off of, so I start building it. And when I'm done, I'm like, okay, here's the rough draft, team. Take a crack at it. What do you like? What don't you like? What should we get rid of? What should we highlight? And then everyone kind of weighs in, and they're like, yeah, this is dope. And then we're like, boom, stamp of approval. Next thing. What's next? What's the next city? Ships. We got to talk about boat combat. What are we going to do? So yeah, it's a really interesting kind of collaborative experience, in world building as well as in story, because a lot of us, I think I've played with almost everyone on the show before, and most of us are completely improv GMs and GM in improv players as well. Like, I've run games for these people before, and my notes is often the title of the episode, a recap of the previous episode, and then a blank page. So I have no idea what's going to happen that episode. And a lot of them GM the same kind of way. So we're often playing off of each other, and just seeing kind of where things goes. And Johnny, the GM, has been dealing with me for 3 years. So he's kind of used to that kind of, like, quippy, witty throw back and forth, like, active, you know, being on your toes and kind of being ready for anything, and weaving that back into what he kind of has as, you know, the bullet points of where the story needs to go, which is great. So, like, that's a really cool, you know, unique experience where everyone kind of knows each other enough to be able to work around the system and play, you know, you don't want to feel like you're confined to a railroad here. We're all pretty good about that. And because a lot of us are entertainers in our own capacity, it's from what I've seen so far, everyone's been pretty good about, like, okay, I've spoken for, you know, X number of minutes out of this 1 hour thing, let me push the spotlight over here, or let me, you know, bring this person into the scene and give them some highlight time. So everyone's kind of, you know, down for that push and pull of that, you know, that spotlight.
I love that. That makes a big difference. especially with audio, because mm-hmm. with like streaming and something, it's different where like you could see everyone and everybody's kind of like interacting together and they yeah. have that. But with an audio only format, it's a little harder to kind of differentiate between where everyone is and what everyone is doing.
Yeah.
Especially when it's very, when one person is talking at a time.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, like, we've kind of had to get in the habit of muting ourselves when one person's talking, which is hard for some of us, myself especially, because my mouth just goes whenever it feels like it. So if you say something funny, I'm going to make a joke about it. Like, if you watch us on Twitch, like, that's how it is. If you say right. something that is, a thinly veiled innuendo, I'm going to comment on it. So there's often times where we're recording and I will be muted and you'll just see me laughing. Like, the other cast members will see me laughing about something because I can't just be like, ha, and pop on and unmute myself and just say it out loud. Because I'm like, while funny, it kind of messes with the audio a little bit. Every once in a while, there's going to be those, like, you know, beer and pretzel style jokes that happen because we're children at heart.
Oh, of course.
and that's kind of how Unmade Gaming is. It's very, it's dramatic beer and pretzels. So we have like those hard drama scenes, those like, you know, gritty combat scenes, those love scenes. But at the same time, I'm going to make a fart joke at any minute. It's just going to happen. And so I think that's what everyone has come to enjoy about the channel and the community as a whole, is that we've, at least I feel like we're a lot closer to your home game than a lot of these other streams and podcasts are, because a lot of them are serious and like audio dramas, but not every one of them has a fart joke or is going to, you know, chuckle when, you know, you say, you know, a funny word or a word that sounds like something else or make an innuendo, right? But we are. We for sure are.
We absolutely are.
Yeah. Unequivocally, we will make that joke.
Right, right. Good. That's how it should be.
Right. That's what I feel like. You know? There's no, don't censor yourself. Just, you know, don't be weird.
Right. Just enjoy it and have fun with it and don't make it weird.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So Dark Fortunes comes out Monday.
Dark Fortunes comes out, yeah, 10th. Every Monday. The first episode will be Monday the 10th at 7 a.m. if all goes according to plan. And then every Monday thereafter at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For now until at least the end of the year, I hope. So yeah, that's going to be, and you can find us on Twitter at Dark Fortunes Pod. And I think the best place to find the rest of our links is anchor.fm/Dark Fortunes. That has links to Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple iTunes, you know, everywhere you can find a podcast. It has a direct link to those places. So anyone can go there, find your appropriate place, click that link, follow it to wherever you want to go, and boom, there's all your podcast needs.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm super excited to hear the new podcast check out all these cool characters, and it's going to be cool.
Yeah, sweet.
Pirates.
Right? Pirate D&D, adorable animals. And we decided to go, like, darker. Because we wanted that. We wanted that, like, you got to have, like, there's going to be equal parts of Pirates of the Caribbean as there is, like, you know, actual gritty pirates.
Right.
We didn't want it to be, like, so campy because they're cute animals. We're like, you know, let's take the cute animal thing and spin it and make it, like, you know, dark fantasy, kind of grim dark with a little bit of you know, Johnny Depp in there.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it should be really cool.
That's going to be great. I'm super, super excited to hear about it.
Hell yeah.
Cool, man. So, anything else you want to plug?
I guess that's it. Go check out the Patreon. Not the Patreon. I mean, you can go check that out too. But go check out the podcast. go check out the podcast. Like I said, it's on iTunes. It's on Google. It's on Spotify. The three big ones. Check it out. Listen to the trailer. The first episode comes out tomorrow. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are on Twitter. Leave us a review and all that good podcast things. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. Cool, man. Sweet. Well, thank you so much for joining me, because it's just me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Every time.
Honored to be here.
Yeah. If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast, or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen. You can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.